Coming up on TMS, Utah, the Dutch oven state.
Meth and sexy hotel.
Is there a branch of the military that just 3D prints things? Because I really want to know.
I'll rub it out later.
The bastard cat did it.
I plopped my pants.
Capture your humanoids.
I don't like Colorado green chili.
What's Florida state aroma these days? You know it's pungent.
You say potato, I say Tobago.
Mother Penny was the worst James Bond character.
The producer knows nothing.
So how does Burger Time work?
Waiting for paint to dry with Bill.
It's always good to see Bill with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Pac-Man is known as the cute game. A voracious little yellow globe gobbles up golden dots and various kinds of fruit, all the while being pursued by four hungry monsters, which can themselves be eaten at crucial moments.
There's a fella in there who'll pay you $10 if you sing into his can.
The Morning Stream. If I tilt my head to the side, I sound better.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for Tuesday, February 21st, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, and that, with the salute of a proper military man, is Brian Ibbett.
That's right. And, hey, pull up those pants, private. Pull up those private pants.
Yeah, pull up your private pants before I see your privates, private, is what you'd say.
Exactly.
Hey, did you, if you ever had to join one wing of the military, have you ever thought about which one you'd join? Like which
branch, that's a really good question.
I've never given a thought,
but probably, I'd probably do Air Force. Number one, because the academy, Air Force Academy, is just to our south in Colorado Springs. Plus, listen, I'd love to learn how to fly a plane.
Sure. Flying's cool. Yeah, get up in the air. Even, that's cool.
And even doing stuff that's not flying a plane related. I mean, drone flying and stuff like that.
Yeah, the drone. Those drone guys. I don't know. You always hear horror stories because they're wiping out people like from across the world, and they have to go home at night. It's like, okay, Bill, see you tomorrow. You're like, yeah, I just killed 4,000 dudes today, but I'm just gonna go home. It's a weird. It must be a weird job doing that. But
is there a branch of the military that just 3D prints things? Because that's the one I want to do.
There's probably like an R&D or like a, there's probably
I'm sure
something.
Actually there's got to be, right? Because there's
I don't know how you get in there. Those are probably really cherry jobs. What I meant to say, wrong fruit.
Yeah, either one. Peachy,
either
cherry.
One works. Peachy cherry.
All sorts of delicious fruit that the glowing orange sphere is consuming
before the monsters get you.
That's exactly. No noun in that guy's report goes unadjective.
Nope.
Adjectived.
Yep. It's for those maybe grew up in Chicago in the '80s, you'll probably know that guy. He followed the games world all the time. It was always about arcades, and Defender is the biggest game ever, and are our kids having problems from so much gameplay, like this kind of stuff? So he's a
darn. I really wanted to hear his description of how Burger Time works.
I will play.
A portly chef walks across buns, meat, and other assorted vegetables to drop.
Well, listen, this is how he does. Here's how he talks about Defender. Here's how that works here.
There's Defender, a space battle game made by Williams Electronics on the north side. The object is to fly over your planet, shooting down the enemy spacecraft, which are trying to capture your humanoids.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, well, that's kind of a boring description. Yep. As flowery as Pac-Man was.
Yeah, he went crazy with Pac-Man.
You fly a spaceship across a landscape and shoot aliens. Like,
You know what is funny, though? At one point he said, what did he say about women? Yeah, listen to this. This irritated me.
Video game makers believe that their products are starting to attract a whole new market. Adults, especially women, who would not have been caught dead playing pinball.
What?
You'll never catch me. You'll never catch me alive playing pinball.
I'd rather be dead than play pinball.
I don't know why this is our woman, but we'll take
That's
it.
That's right. Space Invaders pinball machine over my dead body.
Psh. This girl Amy I dated in high school, she rocked everybody in pinball. All of us. Yeah. We all looked bad compared to her. I don't know. That guy didn't know nothing. Yeah. What does he know? Chicago in the 80s, man. Anyway, hey, I got some stuff today. We gotta
go
through.
Tell me stuff.
First, a complaint about the Amazon Echo.
Okay.
Or maybe this is a complaint about my daughter, Carter. I'm not sure which.
Well, play the logic complaint music, please. I got to do that.
Where is that? It's in the wrong damn shit. Here it is. All right, I'm going to lodge a complaint. Here's what happened. 4 o'clock in the morning, I hear the sound of voices going like that. Laughing, multiple men. Don't know who they are. And when I woke up, I went, are they outside?
Sounds like a Saturday night at Ibbot's house. Sorry, go ahead.
I was like, are they outside? I'm checking outside. Are they across the thing? I'm like, where am I hearing this from? It's muffled and weird. And I get up because it's starting, and they're laughing, and I'm starting to make out words. I heard hear the word pizza. I hear the word cheese.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, this is even weirder than I thought. I walk around the house. I go out into the kitchen area, and sure enough, on the Echo, some podcast or something with dudes talking about how they, oh, I can't have pizza unless you cook it. Oh, yeah, well, the crust needs to be and the cheese. Like some kind of weird argument, laughy morning show zoo kind of sounding thing.
Sounds like a horrible podcast.
It was bad. It was bad. Even 4 a.m., I'm a little blurry, but still bad. It was really bad. And okay. I said, A word, stop. And she stops. And I go back to bed, and I'm like, I don't know why that played. It's not from a phone that I know of, although I think I do know what phone it came from. But anyway, it's not from mine, and I didn't tell it to play, and I don't know if it's even allowed to just kick in like that, but it did. And so I lay down, and then I hear the lady voice, the A voice, go, now connected to Carter's something, whatever her phone's called. So it was freaking Carter! It was her phone, and I think she had it in bed with her or something. She probably leaned on it, hit play by accident, and then it played through the house at 4 o'clock in the frickin' morning.
So instead of pocket dialing, she pocket podcasted.
She pocket podcasted, I guess. Carter, I don't know what show that was, but their discussion of pizza was so stupid at 4 a.m. You need to be stoned like that.
She says, it wasn't me. I had King of the Hill playing last night. Did the two voices sound like, Dale, you know how I like my pizza?
I would have gone for that. I mean, I would at least had, that would have been my hint, because I know how much she loves King of the Hill. She watches it all the time. So I would have gone, oh, okay, she's just doing that. I don't know. Like, all I know is it's at the end, it said disconnecting from Carter's phone or whatever the name of it is.
Yeah.
So it had to have been hers, but why it was playing what it was playing, I don't know. Why it kicked on when it did, I don't know. Freaking 4 a.m.?
Yeah.
Like, her dog's out right now because Rainer's in the bigger kennel for her cone. Maybe Ripley did it. Maybe that cat, that bastard cat did it. I don't freaking know, dude. Anyway, so I'm tired is the point. Brian, I got a quiz for you. Are you ready for a quiz?
Ooh, I am ready for a quiz. Quiz me.
We got a couple of these from Overtime from Tim Watson. He sent me a new one. This is a music quiz. If you get one of these right, you'll hear this. If you get it wrong, you'll hear this. Okay. And I'm going to pull up the link. Hold on. I'm a little less prepared than I thought. There it is. Okay. So this is a test for, let's see, what's the title of this? Oh, Squeeze. You like Squeeze?
Squeeze. I do like the band Squeeze.
Yeah. Well, we're going to test your knowledge with 10 questions about Squeeze.
Okay. If I get these wrong, then I'm not going to like the band anymore. So I'm just going to say that right now, Tim. Be careful what you wish for with your trivia questions.
He may hate the band after this, and it'll be your freaking fault.
It'll be your fault, Tim.
Okay. So here's number one. These are all multiple choice. All right.
Okay. All right.
So no big deal. Here's the first one. In the song, which person or set of people is or actually cool for cats? I'm not sure what that means.
Okay.
Is or are cat actually cool for cats? That's a weird way to
write
that.
Is or are cool for cats? Okay.
I think it's misread, but anyway, your options are, or mistyped. Your options are A, the squaw, B, a couple of likely lads, C, Davy Crockett, or D, everybody.
I was going to say everybody, because the squaw is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language. It's the song she don't need. She wakes to find the fire is dead and arrows in his axe, and everybody says it's something when it's cool for cats. So everybody that you named is cool for cats.
Let's find out. Is it everybody? Oh, it's not. It's a couple of likely lads, it says here.
Well, okay. Because they swear, ask your father, and they're, no, what, how's your father? They something, how's your father?
How's your father? They're very cool for cats. Cool for cats. Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, and everybody tells me that it's cool to be a cat.
Oh, technically, all right, yeah. Davy Crockett says it's cool for cats, but he's technically not cool for cats.
Right. And if any of you at home have no idea about anything Squeeze does, this trivia question, these questions are going to mean nothing to any of you, I guess. All right, here's your next one.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Give you a tricky one up top. All right, here's your next one. In the Up the Junction, when is the narrator's daughter born? Is it A, 4:50 a.m., B, 4:50 p.m., C, 5:30 a.m., or D, 5:20 a.m.?
Well, this morning at 4:50, I took a rather nifty to an incubator where 30 minutes later, she gave birth to a daughter within a year of Walker. So 4:50 plus 30 minutes would be 5:20. So is that one of the choices?
It was. 5:20 was an option. That's, is that your answer? Saying.
Yep.
Correct. Congratulations. You got the math right. Well done. That was a good one. Jeez.
That's a song that I've decided when I get off my tuchus and go back to learning the ukulele, that's one of the first songs that I want to do, because it is a very simple 3-chord song. It's like, oh, what a great starter right there.
I know we've been over this before, but this is one of your favorite bands, right?
One of my favorite bands of all time. Okay. Yeah.
According to Chris Difford.
Sure.
What does the title of the song Pulling Muscles from the Shell mean?
Okay.
A, extracting the edible parts of a bivalve mollusk from its calcaceous casing. I'm not sure how you say that word.
Sure.
B, removal
of the obvious choice, right?
Yeah. B, removal of an unexpectedly solid or impacted piece of fecal matter, which is blocking the anus.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. C, third-party digital stimulation of the female pudenda.
Okay.
Or D, a form of rhinotelexis from a digit removed, a crusty piece of nasal debris connected to a large amount of nasal mucus.
Pulling boogers from the nose.
Yeah.
I love that.
His descriptions are wild and crazy, but I love them. Anyway.
Jeez.
Prudenza.
Because, I mean, the song is all about being at the beach. So it's, you know, it's... what the heck is, like, the meaning? I'm going to say it's the pulling boogers from your nose.
Is it that? Incorrect. Yeah. It is C, third party digital stimulation of the female pudenda.
The pudenda, sure.
Urban Dictionary tells you that pulling muscles from the shell is London slang for intercourse, but Chris Difford says it refers to the use of fingers to stimulate the female sexual organs.
I love it. All right, cool.
How very comfortable. All right.
Well, I need to go listen to that song again.
Yeah.
Again, the lyrics have nothing to do with that. So, you know, basically, he's like, I like the title. It sounds like that. But now we're going to write a song about being at the beach.
Yep. Plus, he went to Urban Dictionary, which is always a safe thing to do. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
Produced a number of Squeeze tracks for which song did he come up with and play the piano bit for the ending? Your options are A, Black Coffee in Bed, B, Labeled with Love, C, Tempted, or D, Is That Love?
Oh, interesting. Okay, so typically Jules Holland did all the piano, the keyboard work for the band.
Yeah.
Elvis Costello and Paul Young sing, the guest vocalists at the end of Black Coffee in Bed. That's them going, Black Coffee in Bed.
Oh.
Black Coffee in Bed.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a Tom Merritt line. He loves his black he loves his coffee dark black, man. Nothing in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then you also, I believe, hear Elvis Costello in Tempted for just the one line, the people keep on crowding and wishing I was well. But that's the rest of it is Paul Carrick. I think that that's Elvis Costello. So and he did East Side Story, the album that Tempted comes from, was originally going to be a double album with four different producers on each side. So you had Elvis Costello, you had Nick Lowe, you had Paul McCartney, and then I can't remember who the fourth person was going to be, but each producer doing a different side of the album. And they ended up making it just a single album.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say, because it's from that album that Elvis Costello was the most involved with. I'm going to say it's Tempted, and I could be wrong, but...
All right. C, yeah. Tempted. Brian is not only tempted to choose Tempted, he has chosen Tempted. Chosen Temptation was too great. Let's find out. Is it correct? It is incorrect. Nope. The actual answer is D, Is That Love, I guess.
Is That Love. Okay.
Which he has some additional info. He says Elvis Costello sang the songs Tempted and Black Coffee in Bed, but he came up... But he came up with and played the piano for the ending of Is That Love.
Interesting. All right. I know the keyboard refrain as well. It's like done on a clavichord, I think. Interesting. All right. Gonna have to re-listen to that one.
My clavichord hurts a little bit. Just a little. I'll rub it out later.
Yeah.
Don't isolate that. Okay, here is your next question. The B-side of the single Last Time Forever has five short pieces, each by a member of Squeeze, which was written by Jules Holland.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Was it
Golly, this I don't know.
Yeah, this is tricky. Yeah. A, Rock and Roll. B, Who Wants to Be a Legionnaire? C, The Practicing Clarinet? Or D, Spidey Goes to Tobago?
I think it's the last of them. Let's see. TRPW is doing great. I think Tim is TRPW.
Yeah, that's right? Him, yeah.
Can you put those choices in the chat so I can see them?
Yeah, I totally can. I can either way.
Yeah. Oh, there it is right there.
Yeah.
All right. Rock and Roll, Who Wants to Be a Legionnaire, The Practicing Clarinet.
That's a good idea.
Spidey Goes to Tobago. I like also how it changed D colon to that funny face in.
That's Tobago. A Twitch thing. Well,
Trinidad,
I guess
and, Trinidad and Tobago, yes, not tobacco.
Tobacco.
Yeah. Spidey goes based to on tobacco. The titles, I would say Rock and Roll feels like the most Jules Hollandy of the titles.
Let's see if you're
so
right.
So I'm going to say A.
You are correct. Nicely cool. done. Yeah. Gibson Lavis or Lavis.
Gilson Lavis, who was the drummer.
Yep. He did Proxy Rock. Chris Difford did The Practicing Clarinet. And let's see, Glenn Tilbrook did Spidey Probably Goes Spidey. To Tobago. Yeah. And Keith Wilkinson, Who Wants to Be a Legionnaire.
Nice. Okay.
Here's your next one. We're on number six here. So far, you're doing good. I haven't been keeping track, chat. Hope someone's...
I think I'm 50-50. I don't think I'm doing that well. But we'll see.
I feel like you're doing better than you are, but maybe you aren't. Who directed the award-winning video for the 1987 single Hourglass?
Shoot.
This is interesting, right?
Yeah.
You got your options. There are a bunch of names I've never heard of. A, Rick Mayall. B, Nigel Planner. C, Aid Edmondson. ADE. I don't know how you say that.
Yeah, sure. Aid Edmondson. So far, two of these are... maybe all three of the... All four of them are going to be young ones. All right, keep it going.
Oh, it could be. And D, Peter Richardson.
I think those are... So, Aid Edmondson was the punker guy from
The Young Ones. I loved that show.
Yeah, and Rick Mayall was the new waver, was the dude who looked like looked like Adam Ant a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who was the really slow one that sound like this? I don't want to go. I don't know who that was.
Exactly, yes, right. And Nigel, that was Nigel.
Nigel.
Oh, no, guys, I don't really want to do this anymore.
I love the Young Ones so much. It's so good.
All right, so that's really funny that question. Now, Rick Mayall, so Aid Edmondson is still in a band. He's in a bad band called the Bad Shepherds. Still doing music and doing some great stuff.
All right.
Rick Mayall did go into movies and video, passed away, but he was Fred in Drop Dead Fred, which we need to watch for film sets.
Yeah, that's a really weird movie.
And sure. I think it would be Rick because of the Hollywood connection. So I'm going to say Rick Mayall directed it.
Okay, let's find out. Whoops, the page just went weird on me. What happened? Okay, there it is. All right, is that correct? It is actually Aid Edmondson.
It was Aid Edmondson. Shoot, that would have been my second guess. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, here's your next one.
These are great questions, by the way.
Yeah, these are good. I love when he sends these. These are great. How much did Chris Difford spend on the Sweet Shop window advertisement card that brought him together with Glenn Tilbrook? I guess it's famous, But how would we know?
I mean, basically, he put a card in the window of a candy shop in Deptford or wherever. Did you say where town? What town was it?
Says Sweet Shop window, and that's it.
Yeah. But basically, it was just like guitarist needed for band. You know, 1977 or something like that.
Well, your options are A, 2 shillings and 6 pence, B, 10 pence, C, 50 pence, or D, half a crown.
I'm going to say E, Mike Pence. No, I'm going to say it's... I think it was cheap. I'm going to say it was... say it was 10 pence.
I have to keep my Mike Pence in my right pocket because if I... in my left pocket, I keep all my gay money, and he doesn't like being... he doesn't like being in there.
Is that where Mother can reach in and grab your, yes, your pence?
Yeah, well, Mother Penny is always in there. Mother Pence is in the same pocket as him. He can't, yes, go anywhere without her.
Yeah, I can't go anywhere.
I can't even, in fact, I can't even pay for things unless they're both, it's in the amount of both of them, or else forget it. They're just staying in my pocket. Anyway, let's find out. What'd you say, sir? What was your answer?
I said 10 pence. I said it was like basically 10 cents, basically. Right,
let's find out. It is 50 pence. 50 pence. Okay.
Yeah.
I said he took 50 pence a piece from his mother's purse to pay the advertisement card. How much it actually cost is not recorded, but that's what
he did. These are deep cuts. I should know this. I wish it was all lyric questions. Tim says you missed question number 7, by the way.
Oh, did I? Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. Let's go back to it. Oh, that's when the browser went weird. I scrolled past it. Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. What was the tenuous connection between the famous producer of part of Squeeze's first LP and the band Squeeze? Okay, the tenuous connection between the famous producer of part of Squeeze's first LP and then the band itself.
Yes, and that famous producer, I believe, is John from Velvet Underground. John, we'll get to it.
Here it is. A, the band's first rehearsal space was in a shop owned by a friend of the producer.
Okay.
B, Squeeze was named after an album by a band by which the producer had once been a member. C, the first time the producer met the band, Glenn Tilbrook was wearing a t-shirt designed by the producer. Or D, one of Squeeze's first Central London performances was at a club owned by the producer.
Oh, geez. Good Lord.
I know, this is a hard one.
It's a deep cut. So, the t-shirt designed by the producer, God, what was the name? John Snow? No, because that's the character from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he knows nothing.
Something Snow?
He knows nothing.
Mike Snow?
Mike Snow?
Yeah, he knows nothing.
Mike Pence?
Jeez. All right. This is going to be a shot in the dark, but I'm going to guess because it's related to the t-shirt. I think it's going to be C.
Oh, C is
t-shirt designed by the producer.
Let's find out if it's
total
C.
Total stab
in the dark. It's all right. Sometimes you got it. B.
Nope.
It was B. Squeeze was named after an album by a band of which the producer had once been a member.
Interesting. I wonder what that... So,
One of those people ever were like...
Squeezing out sparks by...
I'm going to sue him. I'm going to sue him for using my name.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Ooh.
All right, God, so I skipped that.
These are great. And I love these questions, by the way.
These are all very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, final two questions. Let's see. Make sure I did 8. Yep, I did. All right, here's number 9. Okay. Who sang the lead vocals on the Squeeze hit, Tempted?
Oh, thank goodness for this. I don't even need the choices. Paul Carrack.
Oh, my Lord. Look at the speed at which you nailed it.
Yeah. Paul Carrack, well, famously known for How Long by the band Ace. Most of the big hits by Mike and the Mechanics.
I always think of two songs from Mike and the Mechanics. So
yeah, probably Can You Hear Me Running? The Living Year. They're Silent Running.
Yeah. Yep.
And The Living Year is about his father.
You know what is really good? Silent Running from the Gorillaz' new album. That song's really good.
Oh, really? Yeah, I wish they did it. It's not a cover of Mike the Mechanic.
As far as I know, I don't think, because it would be so different that I would not recognize it if it was, but it's quite good.
Oh, my God. I love that his choices are Paul Young, who was born in 1947, and Paul Young, who was born in 1956. Now, I don't know which Paul Young is which. I know that one of the Paul Youngs was Every Time You Go Away, Paul Young. And then the other Paul Young was a member of Mike the Mechanics, who's now passed away. I couldn't tell you which Paul Young was born in which year. Good Lord.
Yeah.
So glad it was not, I didn't have to get that choice.
All right. Now here's a fun one.
Okay.
Final question. Which of these is not a Squeeze album? All right.
Okay. All right.
Which one is not an album? Here we go. A, Love's Crashing Waves. B,
it's a single.
Okay. Yeah. B, Spot the Difference.
Okay, that's their greatest hits album where they redid all their songs to get control of the copyrights.
Oh,
yep.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Wow. You can do that? You just make it...
You just make a new album of basically redo your songs, and now you've got new recordings that then you can own the masters of.
What if someone owns the masters to all of TMS, and we have to go make 2,400 episodes again just to reclaim them, you know?
Oh, God, no, help, no. Gosh.
If you want him, come and claim him. Boy, I got a lot of...
That's right.
Game of Thrones on my era. Game of Thrones, freaking Lord of the Rings on my mind. Anyway, loves Crashing Waves. B, spot the difference. C, some fantastic place.
Okay.
Or D, cozy fan tutti frutti.
Oh, awesome. All right. So, Some Fantastic Place is an album. The title track, it was written for the woman that I believe talked Glenn Tilbrook into answering that Sweet Shop ad.
Oh.
Some Fantastic Place, definitely an album. Cozy Fan, Tutti Frutti, also an album. It is, basically a play on the opera Cozy Fan Tutti. And for some reason, because of that name, the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Las Vegas thinks that it's an Italian album. And so it includes it in the secret pizza place in that long tunnel of Italian albums.
Really?
And you can find Cozy Fan Tutti Frutti by the band Squeeze because somebody there thinks, oh, that's an Italian album. Let's include that one.
I'm going through there next time and I want to see that. That's amazing.
I will point out to you, we are going to make a trip while we're out there because people want to have the verbena.
The drink
that changes your flavor based on chewing the electric Szechuan button.
That's right.
So, A, loves Crashing Waves, which is a single from their non-Squeeze album called Difford and Tilbrook.
Oh my lord. You nailed that one. It is correct.
I have
correct.
To redeem myself from some of those earlier questions.
That's really good. Oh, that was an awesome trivia deal there, TRPW. Keep those coming, man. I love to pop these in once in a while.
Yeah. And there's very few bands that I know that much trivia about, and I apparently need to know more trivia about them. But that's a band I know. Like years and years and years ago, on Coverville, I would do these things where I would. And there were a lot of indie musicians who were listeners of the show. There were some that I had contact with from doing things, Paul and Storm, Chance and the Choir, people like that.
Sure.
And so I would do what was called Open Stage. And I'd say, hey, I'm putting together a Talking Heads tribute album. Do you guys want to be part of it?
Yeah.
And they'd all reach out and say, oh, God, yeah, I'd love to do Psycho Killer. Oh, I want to do this song or that song. And so I've released... You can get them on Coverville, a Talking Heads cover album, a Spinal Tap cover album, and a Squeeze cover album.
Ah, cool.
And Chris Difford from Squeeze somehow found out about the cover album I put together, emailed me and said, I love this and I'm going to play this because he was doing solo shows at the time. He emailed me and said, I'm going to play this before I come out on stage.
Oh, no way.
These will be the songs that are playing before I come out on stage.
Like a little warm-up playlist or whatever.
Exactly.
That's so great. Super cool. That's very cool. Nice little brush with fame there. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I plopped my pants, Scott, when I looked at the email and said, oh my God, Chris Difford from one of my favorite bands is emailing me? Holy poop. I thought it was a joke at first. I thought somebody was punking me.
It's not the first time Brian's plopped his pants, but it won't be the last.
I plop my pants on a regular basis, but it was certainly the most thrilling time that I've ever plopped my pants.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel the excitement just hearing you tell me about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get some news out of the way before we take our mid-show break. Here we go. It's time for the news, and it turns out it's brought to you by...
our friends at That Story Show Podcast. They're sponsoring a comedy story contest where you can win $50 every week. Visit thatstoryshow.com and submit your real life story today.
You know, in the 1940s, that was like a month's worth of pay back then.
Exactly. And if you're a Lyft driver, that is a month's worth of pay right there.
I don't know. You got to get more highfalutin, high end sex workers because maybe they got a little extra tippage.
Apparently,
you know?
So. Yeah. Yeah. She didn't tip. That's a bummer.
Oh man.
Man, you think she'd be used to the tip, but
she's,
apparently
she
not.
Saw way too many tips that day.
She's exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Here's a story about New Mexico. Speaking of sex workers, I don't know why they're New Mexico's fine. You know what it reminds me of? Breaking Bad and candy. That's why I'm thinking of it.
Yeah, that's what you always think of with New Mexico, isn't it?
Yeah, I love candy.
And the H-bomb.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well,
the atomic bomb. Sorry, not the H-bomb. The atomic bomb.
Yeah, the bomb that started it
National
all.
National Laboratories, yes.
Christopher Nolan's next film. Can't wait. Let's see. New Mexico may become the first state to have an official aroma.
Oh, no.
Smell.
Of all states. Well, all right, without reading any of this, I sure as heck hope it's roasted green chilies.
Oh, shit.
All right, let's go. Let's go, Brian.
You're not on, this doesn't give you any extra trivia points, but you're absolutely correct. A new bill moving through the New Mexico legislature would make the state the first in the nation to have its own official aroma, green chilies roasting in the fall. Yeah.
Nice.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh.
Democratic Senator William Soles sponsored the Bill 188, which seeks to add to the roster of New Mexico's state symbols. Other symbols include the yucca flower, the roadrunner, cutthroat trout, and New Mexico black bear.
What does roadrunner smell like?
Yeah, I was going to say, what do all these smell like? If the bill passes, the state aroma would join some of New Mexico's more unusual symbols, like the bolo tie, which is the official state tie. So sorry to hear that, really.
Yeah. Any other states have an official state tie, or is it just because the bolo's popular, they said, let's make it the official state tie?
I feel like we got bird, tree.
Yeah. Flower.
Well, flower. I think that's it.
Official state flower, motto, of course.
Maybe we've got more, and I don't know. I guess I haven't paid that much attention to our local stuff, but anyway, the air balloon is the state's official aircraft. is that weird or what? It's so weird
because they have the annual balloon festival there. I get it.
Yeah, it's very weird. It says the fiscal impact report on the proposed symbol addition noted that it may have a positive, though difficult to calculate, impact on tourism to the state. That's why they usually do these things. New Mexico's peak tourist season starts in March and ebbed towards the end of October, typically intersects with the peak of green chili season in the state. The state aroma could help draw visitors away from Colorado, which for some reason thinks it has green chili comparable to that of New Mexico, says the report. They're calling you guys out.
We've got very good roasted green chili, but I will say, and KT Data, I found that list. I'm going to quiz Scott on these in just a second. So don't look at the link that KT Data just sent.
Okay, I will not look at the KT Data's link. Kevin, you may as well have not posted anything. I don't see it.
But when Tina was working down in Santa Fe, I went with her on one of her trips, and because she'd be down there for like a week. So I went with her once, took my whole iMac. I even did TMS from the hotel room.
Oh, this is when you got the blue meth candy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Ate all that.
Yeah, I used to have the bag of that over here.
I think that's what gave me the pre-diabetic state, is your bag of freaking meth candy.
It's basically just rock candy that's blue. But on our way out of town, I said, well, let's swing by and pick up some roasted green chilies, because it was the time of the year that they had, every corner had one of those dudes roasting green chilies.
Sure.
So we got a half a bushel of chilies, and it's in a, you know, it's in a plastic bag, and then they put that plastic bag inside a grocery bag and double tie it shut, right? The plastic grocery bag.
Sure.
6 hours in the car, that made the car smell so amazing.
Heavenly,
and it took months for that smell to dissipate.
But you're good for that, right? Because you don't, it's not like Jerry's BO car. This is a car where you want that odor to stay.
You want that odor to smell. Yes, it's so fantastic. Man. Tina was sick of it, but I was like, every time we had to drive somewhere, like, oh, let's take your car so I can smell the green chili smell residue.
Kind of with you. I like that smell a lot. Well, anyway.
Yeah. All right, so.
They're just giving you shit there in Colorado is what they're doing here.
Let them give me shit. All right, you ready for...
Go.
I found the official state symbols list of Utah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
We talked about the bird and the flower and stuff. Do you know, by the way, the official state bird of Utah?
It is the California gull, seagull.
It is. Of all things, the California gull.
I don't know if I said this on the show, but it's all for one stupid apocryphal story where the pioneers were moving west and they established themselves here. They had a really hard winter. Yeah. And when it came time for the corn harvest or whatever they were growing, a massive amount of locusts and crickets.
Crickets is what this article
is. Yeah, it's crickets.
Saying,
so they attacked the crops and were eating all the crops. And then suddenly, like a miracle in the sky, a ton of seagulls showed up and ate all the crickets and saved the the crops. It's like this very deep-seated story here that I think is really kind of mythological, but whatever, and that's why it's this California
single. It's very like Simpsons Whacking Day kind of. It's got a very Simpsons Whacking Day kind of feel to it.
Yeah, and now they're just everywhere. They're like, like Katie Day says, they're in parking lots eating fries. I mean, they're just stupid, dirty birds.
But anyway, it's just funny that it's the California gull.
I know, right? We don't even get a Utah gull or whatever.
You don't even get a Utah gull. How about your animal? What's your official state animal?
Oh, see, here's where I get in the weeds. Let's see. Oh, gosh, dude. I'll say it. It's an animal, not a bird, because the state bird is different.
It's a mammal.
It's a mammal. Obviously, we have the bird. Mountain lion, maybe.
No, it is the Rocky Mountain elk.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I did not know that.
I wouldn't be able to tell you what our official state animal is here in Colorado, so don't feel bad.
All right.
How about the official Utah cooking pot, state cooking pot?
Lauren Boebert, by the way, is your official animal. Okay. Cooking pot. Oh, it's a Dutch oven.
That's exactly right. Well done.
Yeah. Bunch of Dutch immigrants were famous for early settlers here were famous for their Dutch oven cooking. And now, when I used to go on scout camps and stuff, somebody always brought a Dutch oven. We'd have one night where we had some buried food, and I was always worried it was going to get dirt and like ashes in it. I was always worried. It's amazing
Again, though, taking something that's, you know, named after the Netherlands and calling it your own, Utah.
Yeah, there we are again. Plus, then it became what you do to your wife when you're in bed and you fart and hold the covers down.
Hold the covers overhead.
Yeah. Dutch oven.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. How about you mentioned the flower. Let's get out of the way. Do you know the state flower? You were about to say it sounded like.
Sega lily?
Yeah, Sega lily.
Is that it?
Sega lily. Yep. S-E-G-O lily.
Okay.
How about the official state dance?
Oh my gosh, there's a state dance?
Yeah.
What would it be here? The Macarena.
This officially became the state dance in 1994, apparently.
Oh, geez.
The square dance.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
Picked this? Somebody in Juab County? You bunch of lame-os. Lame.
Yes. Let's see. The official state firearm.
Really?
Yeah. This one, much more recent, 2011. The Browning M1911 was made the official state firearm.
Sounds like another Juab County effort to me, but whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. Oh, the fruit. What's the fruit? The official state fruit of Utah.
The official state fruit is the apple.
You want to say plum, don't you?
Oh, is it plums?
No, but don't say plums. It's not plums.
I can either take or
neither leave take nor leave plums. Weirdly, it's the cherry.
I almost said cherry. I don't know why I almost did.
But cherry trees were given by Japan just after World War II, and they lined the Utah State Capitol grounds.
Yeah, there's a ton of cherry trees here. And when we were growing up, we always had cherry trees. So I should have thought of that.
I don't know why I would think of, like, Washington. I mean, I guess apple's got to be the official state.
I would have thought apple here and more cherry them, but apparently we're weird, so...
Insects should be an obvious one.
Probably that cricket.
No, actually, it was the honeybee.
Oh, shit, because we're the busy bee, the beehive state.
Yeah, exactly,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have a lot of bees in the right time of year.
The official state reptile.
Oh, what? some salamander, something? I don't know.
No, a Gila monster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 2019. So just 3 years or 4 years ago, this was named the state reptile following a lobbying campaign by Utah middle schoolers.
Interesting. Well, down in southern Utah, you know, where it's basically another planet, we got all kinds of stuff like that. So that makes sense. I've never seen one personally, but, you know, lots of lizards down there.
We'll do one more two more to get ready for Indy in the Middle. But this should be an easy one. What's the Utah state song?
Oh.
Can you confused with the Utah State hymn?
Yeah, there's two different things. Oh, geez. All I can think of is my high school song.
Benjamin says, my humps.
That's my humps, my lovely lady humps. Shit. I don't know this one. What is it?
The official state song is Utah, This is the place.
Oh, shit. It's the whole Brigham Young, this is the place thing.
But the official state hymn, which was used to be the official state song, Utah, We Love Thee.
That I think I knew, but would never have recalled.
Yeah, the fourth graders from Davis County changed the song in 2003 because it's just not that much fun to sing.
Wow. What they said. That's how we make calls here. The kids are a massive force in our political system here in Utah.
Apparently so, right? They get to have the Gila Monster. They get to pick a new song.
We have more children per capita than any other place in the country. Therefore, they wield a heavy axe when they need to.
Apparently, Whitney Houston was talking about Utah when she said that the children were the future.
That's right. Let them lead the way, or let them change the song because it's boring to sing, or whatever the hell they said.
All right. There are two official state vegetables. I'll let you choose. Name either one of them.
Oh, well, not potato, because it's not really a vegetable anyway, right? That's a...
it's a tuber.
Tuber.
But, yeah.
That would be Idaho. Let's say... what do we grow here? Everything grows here. So it's like, I guess you gotta pick something.
Coconuts don't grow there.
Oh, that's true. They don't. Let's go with a carrot or something dumb. The carrot?
The sugar beet.
Oh.
Which was, from 1891 till 1920. But then because of the blight, now it's the Spanish sweet onion.
Oh, so, once again, taking some other place's thing and making it our own.
Exactly. Major crop in Box Elder and Weber counties.
Oh, my Lord. Weber and Box Elder, dude. Those people sitting around eating their sugar beets and their freaking...
They're sweet onions, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Those are all like retirement communities now, I swear. They're just ancient people living there. But, hey, that was a fun look at the stuff
that
I didn't know.
That was fun, yeah. We'll have to do... I haven't looked at Colorado, but I wonder how many of the Colorado things I'd be able to name.
That's there you have it. We are going to take that break you mentioned. We're going to play an indie in the middle. And when we come back, we're going to have Bill Duran here talking about the world of making stuff. We'll have Bobby for a little science and a little more after that. So come on back after this break.
Yeah, going over to Los Angeles for this one. A rock quartet called Blame My Youth. They have a brand new single. It's called Prize Fighter. They're going out on tour supporting Hardy on his sold-out Mockingbird and the Crow tour across the U.S. throughout April. So look for them. Look for Hardy, and you can check out the band Blame My Youth as the opening act. Here's their brand new single, Prize Fighter.
Pick me up off the floor, heal the cup, back for more. Ride or die, ride it to the end. I'll be your prize fighter. I ain't ever gonna tire. Gonna face that fight all night. I'm gonna win, cause I got you ringside. Prize fighter, knock me down, but I'm a riser. Gonna face that fight all night. I'm gonna win, cause I got you ringside. Gonna face that fire all night. I'm gonna win, cause I got you ringside. Prize fighter, knock me down, but I'm a riser. Gonna face that fire all night. I'm gonna win, cause I got you ringside. Prize fighter, I ain't ever gonna tire. Gonna face
To express with the mouth, you can use four sounds. Ooh, ah, wow.
Sam uses this computer for a process he calls birthing.
Sawed-off sadistic bastard, you betrayed us. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. I would sure like to know who that was one more time.
Yeah, that sound, by the way, that little clip you played sounded like what happens when you're pulling muscles from the shell. The yep. Four ways to express yourself. Hey, that song is called Prize Fighter, and the band is Blame My Youth.
Oh, I love that idea. It's like... Okay, does it hurt here?
Ooh.
Okay, how about now?
Ah.
Oh, she liked it better there. How about this one?
Wow.
Okay, well.
Yeah, there you go.
We pulled it off.
Just keep doing whatever's getting the wow, keep doing that.
Keep doing the wow.
Keep pulling muscles from that shell, apparently.
That's right. That's right. Okay, Bill Duran, Punish Prop Zone. Got to find him in the list. There he is. We're adding him to the call. We're going to talk about stuff. Get creative here, you know? I like getting creative. Creativity drives humanity.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joining us, as he does each and every Tuesday, from punishprops.com to talk about the world of creative making stuff. That's the term we'll give it. And Bill's joining us once again. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Yeah. What comes knocking to the house of Bill this fine Tuesday?
Well, we've got a brand new video up on our website and on YouTube. We had a really fun project that we got to take part in.
Oh, tell us more. What'd you do?
So the thing we made is the build tool from the game Satisfactory.
Mm.
Obviously, one of our very favorite games.
Yeah. Sure.
And in the game, as the main character, you run around with this tool that you use. You point it at stuff to create your factories. Well, we were contacted a few months ago by the company that does all of the official merch for the game Satisfactory, a company called Heroic Replicas. They've been making all the official merch for Coffee Stain for a while now. And they have a new Kickstarter for their new set of merch. They're selling some plushies of the animals in the game, which are very adorable, but they're also selling a replica of the build tool.
Pretty interesting that they're using, whoops, I had the feud thing up, using the, using Kickstarter to do merch launches. I haven't heard of that before. It's a fascinating tact, I guess, if you're trying to sell stuff.
Yeah, well, they have a handful of things they're launching, so there's just different levels on the Kickstarter to get all the different things.
Sure.
Including one of the rewards is the 3D files for this tool. So if you just want to 3D print your own, you can, which I think is really cool that they're doing something like that.
Yeah, I agree. Did they give you the assets to work with? Is that how you got the,
Yeah. So we made a prototype for them to use in their videos to promote the campaign. And they sent us the 3D files to print all the parts, along with all of the hardware we would need to put the whole thing together. And that hardware includes things like screws and pins, lights. It even has a little analog stick. The build tool has like a thumb stick on it. And so they sent us what I think is like the guts from a PlayStation controller or something, the analog stick part.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was pretty neat.
That's pretty rad. So for those who can't see this, they're just listening to audio. When you play the game Satisfactory, which is fantastic, and you should. It's a wonderful game. Mm-hmm. Should be hitting 1.0 soon. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, officially released kind of thing.
Yeah. It's been in early access forever. Ever and ever. Yeah. But I think they're getting close. But anyway, it feels finished to me. But it's this kind of, not multi-tool. What would you call, in the game, what would you call this? I guess it is a kind of a multi-tool. It does a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you'll see it out in front of you all the time. And what Bill's made looks like that damn tool.
Really? Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Need to,
you should play that, Brian. You would love that game, I think.
I bet I would. I'm just about, I've got one last quest to complete on Astroneer. And,
Astroneer.
It involves me. I know. I have to go back and revisit all the planets and activate their probes.
Yep.
Which are all named for, like the Kepler probe and the like, they're all named for real probes.
Yeah.
I think as soon as I do that, I've completed all of the original content and all the DLC.
You've beaten the game is what you've done.
I've completed the game, beaten the game.
Which is a rare thing.
They've added a lot to Satisfactory since I played it last, so I need to play it again.
Yeah, they keep adding so many cool things. Satisfactory is just awesome. Oh my gosh, it makes me want to play just watching you build this stupid thing. Beautiful. So how long did the build take, if you had to guesstimate?
This took us about a week. A lot of that time was spent waiting for paint to dry.
Yeah. How much, I always wonder that, how much time is that? Like how much, for all the projects you do, is most of the time waiting for something to cure or dry or sit or settle? You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of times, like, so if we're making molds, most of the time the silicone that I use takes at least like 16 hours to cure. So it's usually an overnight thing or more. Same thing with paint. I like to finish painting at the end of the day and then give it all night to dry if I can. Some paints take longer, though, so you may have to wait longer.
Oh, this thing's beautiful. I want one. Does it make any sound? Does it have any flashing lights, you know?
So it does have some electronics. It's got a lot of stuff built into it that where it could have a lot of electronics, but right now it only has lights as far as I know.
Gotcha.
The one we made only has lights.
Sure. That makes sense. You're not going to go too crazy on other stuff if it doesn't need it. And you know,
right.
You just try.
The lights are really kind of enough.
Right.
But like I said, there's a little thumbstick in there that can be programmed. There's a circuit board. There's a bunch of things you could do if you were inventive.
Oh, look at
The kit, like I said, was all 3D printed. We used our 6K resin 3D printer. We got a newer 6K resin printer, and that thing was awesome. And the parts came out great.
Yeah, this
of course
looks,
we had to do a little bit of cleanup.
This looks insane. 3D oh my gosh, look at the little that moves on the bottom. Is there resistance on that bottom thing?
Yeah, it's got a spring in there, and then there's a little knob that turns as well. Yeah, parts make everything better.
I just hold this all day is what I would do.
Spin it on your finger, point it at your animals and stuff.
Yep, get holsters for them, make two, you know?
Yeah.
Wear the helmet. This is awesome. The video's up, so if you guys are like, wait, I can't see this, I'm listening to audio, don't worry. Get your butt over there and check it out at punchprops.com. It's the latest video.
And it looks, and I believe there's like 3 minutes of bloopers at the end. So
there's a big old blooper
the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
That's great. I like seeing you screw up, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it happens more than people think.
You know what
as
it's like?
It's not one of those like lose a finger screw ups.
No, I haven't done that yet. You don't want to see that. But I do. You know what it's like? It's like watching those Boston Dynamics robots bloopers. Where usually the only ones you see are like
it falls over.
Because usually it's like, oh, he just ran the course perfectly without an error. Oh, the robots, right? And then someone will say, well, there's this B-roll, and then he's just fumbling all over the place. And I don't know, for some reason, it gives me hope and makes me smile. So, Bill, I'm glad you're not a robot and that you're fallible. Okay, I'm glad you screw up sometimes.
Yeah. Waiting for the day. I want to see the scene from Terminator when all the robots are walking across the hellscape, and one of them just completely eats it, trying to go up the stair or something. I want to see that clip.
His legs are still moving.
Like I'm still walking, right?
Yeah. Slip on a skull. He just crushed with his foot. All right. Tell us, you've got a little bonus link you'd like to share, don't you? What do you got there?
I do, yes. Our friends, Evan and Caitlin, made what they're claiming is the world's largest laptop.
Oh my God! Look at that.
Freaking.
She needs to have the world's largest lap. Unfortunately,
I know, right?
She doesn't. Yeah.
So what? To what end? Is it just because we like big stuff, small stuff? Like we talked about last week a little bit.
Things are cooler when they're way bigger or way smaller than normal.
Yeah.
And this laptop is like a 42-inch TV screen or something like that.
I love this.
My only complaint.
Much.
They should have gone all the way and created a giant keyboard for it. Like, you know, took an existing keyboard and just made massive keys for it.
Oh, that's.
I think this was the biggest keyboard they could find.
Okay.
It's pretty beefy.
Pretty big,
Still pretty beefy. Yep. Those keys are large, but I would buy. Love this. This would be on permanent display, and I would invite people over just to see it.
You would need a room for it.
Oh my Lord, dude. That's amazing.
Thing is massive. Wow.
I love that. I want a tiny, tiny, tiny one that's not even usable. That's what I want now. I want all these things. All right, Bill, wonderful stuff as always. That's Evan and Caitlin on YouTube if you want to go check that out. Mm-hmm. And Bill Duran can be found at punishprops.com. And, of course, the Punish Props YouTube channel is the place to go sub and check out all the great content. Bill, have you a great week, and stay out of trouble, will you?
Sure thing. See you guys.
Bye now.
See ya. I mean, it's a pretty big keyboard. I want a keyboard that goes edge to edge, and then I want the trackpad to be like a mouse pad size.
Yeah, like a
front
big fatty like this. You're absolutely right. If you're going to go, I mean, I know nothing about what it took to make what they made.
Of course, yeah. I mean, this is, you know, certainly not discounting the amount of time and work that they put into this.
No, but...
And it needs to have a equally big, stupid ThinkPad eraser nub joystick thing in the middle of the keyboard that's...
Oh, that's how big would it be?
It would be like a grape, like a fat, big fat grape
like
size.
This tin of mints, just like a big old knob.
Exactly.
I love it, dude. Love it.
Awesome.
I wish I had the wherewithal to do stuff like that. I guess I could if I had the time, but I don't. Okay, what are we doing now? Oh, yeah, Bobby.
Bobby!
Oh, yeah, Bobby. He's coming in hot. Got some stuff to say. One that's
science.
And look who it is. It's Bobby. He comes bearing science, and he's a load-bearing wall, and we like having him on.
He's a science-bearing wall.
Yeah, he's a science-bearing wall. And,
big, hairy wall.
Big, hairy wall. You like that term? You like being called the hairy wall?
Yeah, that was my wrestling name in high school.
Oh, great.
It sounds like a coach for the New England Patriots. Oh, yeah, our new coach, Harry Wall.
Yeah, Harry Wall.
See if he can bring some life to this team.
Yeah, finally. We got a rebuilding year. Harry Wall's going to turn it around. Bill, it's good to see you, of course, and your hair. But also,
it was good to see Bill, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's always good to see Bill. Did you fly today, or how? Just give us a quick update on the flying. How's going with that?
The flying, I did go flying today. It'd been a while since I've been flying because just weather and the plane being in the shop and everything. But I did go flying today, and it was very windy. Mm. It was super windy, and it felt like a roller coaster at times. Like,
oh gosh,
that's feeling,
not something you want.
It wasn't very
I want that
comfortable.
In my roller coasters. I don't want that in my flights.
Yeah, exactly. It's it wasn't very comfortable. We couldn't fly very high either, so a lot of times when you when there's turbulence and a lot of wind and everything, you can go up higher and just get out of it.
Yeah,
and it'll be fine. But we couldn't because the cloud deck was around 2,000 feet today, so we had to stay at 1,500 to fly, and it was just very gusty, 20-knot gusts that were pretty rough.
Let me ask you a question. You call it the cloud deck. Does that just mean the bottom of the cloud cover, like the
cloud base?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it was at 2,000, and because I'm learning, I'm not an instrument rated pilot. I can only fly visual flight rules or VFR. So you can't climb. I can't go through clouds.
Oh, I see.
So instrument, like, can people who are trained instrument, what was the instrument certified or
instrument rated? Yeah,
instrument rated. Could they have the windows basically blacked out and fly the plane for the most part?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. That's part of what you have to do to fly. You don't black out the windows or anything,
sure.
But you, the point of instrument ratings is so that you can fly in the middle of clouds and you have no visual reference
plane
at all.
Okay, so in essence, you black it out yourself just by being in the environment where you
And when you're learning it, and even I will have to do a few, they do make you do a few hours of flying in instrument training, flying in the training that I'm doing, because just in case, you know, you have to have been exposed to it. Just for safety reasons, just if the worst happens and you're in it.
Yeah.
And the way that they train you to do that, because you can't just wait until it's really cloudy, right?
Right.
Sure.
But the way they train you to do that is they basically give you these frosted goggles to wear.
Oh, with the blast shield down, I can't see where I'm sitting.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, wow.
And so it's these goggles that are all frosted except for the bottom, the very bottom in the middle, so that you can look down your nose at the instruments.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's like the
awesome.
It's like VR helmets with a little peaky hole in them. Yeah.
So a lot of people are really scared of that. I'm actually looking forward to it. I think I'll do all right, because the big problem I've had in all these hours of training is I've had the opposite problem where I've had to get better at making sure I keep my eyes outside the windows because I've spent so much time in flight simulator, like Microsoft Flight Simulator, where you have to look at the instruments all the time.
Yeah.
Because you can't feel the plane, you know?
Sure.
Because you're, it's in a, on a computer. But it's been hard forcing myself to make sure I look outside, and I spend too much time looking at the instruments. So I think that I'll be pretty comfortable with that. And I will after I get my private pilot's license. That's going to be my next step, and I'll probably try to do it pretty quickly after I get licensed. I want to go ahead and start training as an instrument to get the instrument rating.
So once you...
Because you're limited. If you don't have an instrument rating, then the weather can ruin your flying day.
You're
right.
Only able to fly on clear days.
Yeah, right. And so if you had something planned for a week, you know, oh, some people are coming into town, I'm going to take them up into a plane, to the plane, and maybe fly a couple cities over, go get some lunch and fly back. If it's just a foggy or cloudy day that day, you're
grounded.
You have to cancel.
Yeah, that's interesting. But once you have that, you could do this where people could come in town and you'd say, hey, let's go fly over to Greensboro or whatever and get lunch and come back. Like that will be... You can legally do that at that point.
Yeah. Okay. I can't legally do it now, but at that point, yeah, the only thing that'll stop me from flying really are, well, in this part of the country, the only thing I'll have to worry about are like thunderstorms.
It always feels like the only time you hear about crashes, not to pee on everyone's parade here for a second, but but when you always hear about these crashes of private planes, it's always like, what's his name? Basketball player. Can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant. Yeah, Kobe. Short little jaunt, right? Went down. Not Elvis, but the Big Bopper, those guys.
Yeah.
Up, down. Like these aren't commercial flights, they're always these little private flights. Is it just a perception thing? Is there any kind of correlation between the fact that they are small and is just some trained pilot?
It's hard to know because the only thing that you will know from an accident where no one survives.
Yeah,
is the stuff that comes out of the, you know, like the
flight recorder.
Yeah, the flight recorder and any data that was coming from the plane to out of the plane, right? Mm-hmm. So it only gives you limited information. What you can't know is what was going on in the pilot's head.
Gotcha. That's true.
And so a lot of people in aviation, it's talked about a lot. That the speculation really is that the reason that it happens a lot there is because of the mind frame of the pilot. Like a lot of people, like there's a lot of your training as a pilot is all about the go, no go decision. And how to have good decision making skills and how to manage that kind of thing. Because so a lot of people, so the Kobe Bryant thing, I heard some people talking about that, and they think that probably what happened there is you've got this really famous guy who wants to go, and you as the pilot are like, should I tell them that this isn't a good idea? Mm-hmm. You know, and perhaps they were just flying, and we know from the data actually that it was not great conditions to fly in, so probably they shouldn't have gone at all. And I think that is probably what happens a lot, is that you get pilots that are overconfident, especially private pilots who've been doing it for a long time, get overconfident, like, oh, I can handle this, and they can't, obviously, because something happened, you know?
Fascinating. Well, all right, there's your flight update. Ladies and gentlemen, please wait until the light is turned off and move about the cabin.
Return your tray tables and your Bobby back to an upright position.
That's right. Bobby is upright and ready to tell us some science, so why don't you lay it on us? What are we doing this week?
You had a question for me that you sent me last week.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I thought I would talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Where is it?
Do you have the audio that you want to play?
I thought handy? I did, don't I? Yeah, it is.
I have it right here.
Here it is. I can play it. I'm good. Here we go. Okay. So this is something I got off of that documentary I watched. I recommended it on the show called Our Universe. And it was, what's his beak? I can't think of names today. What's wrong with me?
Terrible.
Andy Dufresne thought that day.
Oh, Morgan Freeman.
Morgan freaking Freeman. Jeez. Anyway.
Stop thinking Christian Slater for some reason.
Greetings and salutations. Now we're going to watch the Canadian goose as it makes its
Oh my God.
That's easy to slip into a Jack Nicholson with Christian Slater.
Yeah, they kind of do each other. Anyway, here is that audio.
Hail.
Maybe. Why isn't it playing? Okay, it's not playing. Somebody just re-get it. Okay, that's weird. Should have played. All right, I'll play it here.
Our sun blasts out the energy of 4.5 trillion atomic bombs every second.
Okay. Is that... I assume it's true because that seems like a vetted documentary where all that stuff is checked out. But that seemed... Yeah. Like, let this sink in.
Our sun blasts out the energy of 4.5 trillion atomic bombs every second.
Trillion atomic bombs per second.
4.5 trillion atomic bombs every second.
Is that true?
Yes. Okay. Well, to jump right to it, yes, that is totally true.
Morgan Freeman is a big fat liar.
Yeah, that liar.
Yeah.
I've seen him in movies. You never know what's going on with that guy. No, that just seems insane amount of energy.
Yeah, he ad-libbed that line and they just didn't check it. No, that is crazy. It is crazy. And so you sent me that and you're just asking me like you're like, "Hey, is this true? Holy cow." And I said, "Yes, it's, and let's talk about it on the show because it's really the reasons why and all the how stars work and the sun and everything is a very fascinating thing to talk about."
I agree.
The energy of an atomic bomb, will start there. A typical atomic bomb would be about 4.184 times 10 to the 12 joules of energy. That's quite a lot. That's 4 with 12 zeros after it. That's how many joules of energy. And the energy of the sun that's put out every second is a 4 with 26 zeros after it. So that's a lot of energy, right?
Yeah.
Jeez, and so it's a lot more energy, and there are a couple of reasons why the sun puts out so much energy. First of all, it's fusing. So an atomic bomb, what it's doing is it has a type of energy that it's what it's doing is fusion, or right. It's backwards. It's doing fission. It's fission and fusion are easy to confuse because they decided to make those words sound very similar. Hmm. But fission is what's going on inside an atomic bomb, and that's where you're splitting an atom, right? You hear split the atom.
Sure.
It's just a bunch of energy from when you take an atom and split it in half. There's a lot of energy that's holding those quantum particles together. So if you are able to somehow get them to split, a lot of energy is released, and then a chain reaction happens. That energy that's released causes the next one to then split, and so on and so forth. But the point is that when you split the atom, a lot of energy is released. But believe it or not, when you force two atoms, the opposite of fission is fusion, where you take two atoms and smash them together, and they make and they form a new atom. But maybe counterintuitively, when you do that, when you take two atoms and fuse them together, it actually creates even more energy. Hmm. And that's what's going on inside the sun.
Okay.
Is fusion.
All right.
The sun, as John Flansburgh and John Linnell of They Might Be Giants famously taught us, that the sun is a massive incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace. It's fusing hydrogen into helium. So there's a
millions of degrees.
At a temperature of millions of degrees. Yeah.
Sorry, just had to finish that.
Yeah. Of course.
Needed some closure on that song. I appreciate that.
I needed it. I was going to be in my head until I finally got closure.
Yeah. So our star is young. You've heard that before, right? It's a young star.
Yeah, it's a young star. It's like a Bella Ramsey.
It's like a Jonas brother.
Yeah, it's like a Bella Jonas brother Ramsey, or a yeah. Bella Ramsey or somebody like that. A young star just getting started, you know?
Yeah,
you know, go
exactly.
Far. Yeah.
So
in space.
In the early stages of a star, what happens is a bunch of hydrogen comes together, it coalesces this hydrogen gas, and it forms a big glob, and then more and more collects. The gravity pulls it together, and it pulls into this giant spherical clump that we eventually will call a star, but it doesn't become a star until there's enough of that hydrogen that smashes together. And the force of that gravity gets so heavy that that under its own gravity. And I don't know if you really think about this, a lot of, I don't know if, like, when you really think about this, this is an amazing fact to me. That the thing that ignites a star is simply the fact that there's so much of it that it's the gravity is pushing so hard that it lights on fire. Like, that's all that happens. That's how a star ignites. And so that's the gravity of all that hydrogen together has pushed so hard on itself that the hydrogen atoms start fusing together.
Interesting. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And they make helium. The hydrogen atoms, it doesn't happen immediately. It happens in several steps. It actually makes a couple of different types of hydrogen, and then eventually they all start to fuse together and form helium atoms.
If I was on the sun, if I could stand the sun, you know, and be there, would I just be like this the whole time, talking like this, because there's so much damn helium?
Because of all the helium?
Yeah. That would happen.
I don't think it has a helium atmosphere, though, right? It's just the...
I don't think it has an atmosphere.
If you're on the surface of the sun, that's a good question.
The atmosphere, does it have an atmosphere, like, of a sort?
Yeah, it sure does.
It does, okay.
There are different layers to the sun's atmosphere. In fact, it's hotter on its surface in that atmospheric part than it is below the surface inside.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Below the surface would be hotter. Interesting.
I think when you get all the way deep down, it might be hotter than that, but there's just different heats happening at different layers, and it takes a long time for things to, because everything's fusing in the middle of the sun, right?
Yeah.
And creating tons of energy. And during that fusion process, so when you have the hydrogen atoms and they fuse together, it creates helium. The reason it creates helium is because, and is because of the energy that's released. So you know that atoms are made up of like different types of subatomic particles, right? Like quarks and different types of things like that. Well, whenever the two hydrogen atoms smash together, it kicks out different quantum particles like positrons and neutrinos and photons. The photons that get kicked out of during this fusion process, that's what we see as light. And then the other energy comes from the positrons, neutrinos, the gamma rays and everything like that that get shot out. But because it loses those things, those hydrogen protons turns into a neutron, and then it creates, you know, a helium atom. Anyway, the point is that it eventually, that's what also keeps, so if there was no fusion, if fusion wasn't a thing, this is interesting, is that all that hydrogen would keep compressing down on itself, and it would eventually just smash down into a single smaller solid ball of hydrogen, or if it was big enough, it would form into a black hole, right?
So it's the perfect, it's like the little pig that had just, or no, the bear that had just the right porridge or whatever, right?
Right. Well, yeah. So
it's a bad analogy, but you know what I mean. Like, it's the perfect combo in the middle.
It's the perfect amount of, yes. Right. Yeah.
Not too big, not too small.
Yeah. There's a balance that's happening. Because the reason why all that hydrogen is not compressed down into a small ball, like a black hole, the reason that doesn't happen is because of all the ignited, exploding, fusing hydrogen. So all that energy that is released from all those fusion reactions exerts a pressure outwards, and it balances out the force of gravity pulling it in. And it's just careful balance that makes the sun stay at this steady, you know, size. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a balloon in a way, that's pushing out. And eventually, this is a cool thing about the life cycle of a star, eventually that hydrogen will run out,
yeah,
or it'll run low, and it won't be creating enough fusion energy on the inside.
And that's when you send Killian Murphy and a whole ship crew of people out to the thing to fix it, and you hope that Captain America doesn't get frozen from the waist down in hydrogen hot water or cold water, whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, that's happened before.
Watch Sunshine, you guys. A great movie. That movie holds up. It's awesome. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, so the hydrogen will eventually run out or run low. And
if humans are still around, that's it for us. We're done then, right?
Well, no, not exactly. Well, I think actually, yes. That's not the end of the star, though. Because I think at that point it becomes a red giant, because, which seems weird, because I just said that the energy won't be enough anymore to hold it up, right? Because it'll run out of hydrogen. So you would imagine gravity will win in that. Gravity will say, aha, there's not enough of this energy pushing up against me, so now everything's getting pushed down. And I win and pull everything in, but then what happens is all those helium atoms now get compressed hard enough together,
yeah,
mm-hmm, because of the force of gravity that they start to fuse.
Yeah.
And it pushes out again, and that's when it puffs out into a red giant. I think that will consume the Earth.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to grow big enough to engulf the first three planets, if I remember.
Yeah, exactly.
If and I remember so, my animation from Cosmos correctly, then that's...
Right, Carl Sagan taught us all of this stuff.
He really did, yeah.
Yeah, and did it in ways most of us could grasp. I miss that guy. He was great.
We're all little dandelions floating on the wind.
The cool thing is that, so that all happens, right? Helium starts fusing and making more elements like carbon, and then helium and carbon fuse to make oxygen, which then fuse with helium to make neon. And it goes on all through these things to make more and more stuff. It's all these different phases of making new elements until eventually all these elements get made, and every step of the way, the gravity gets greater, right? And once the fuel runs out and it starts fusing new elements until it gets to iron, until iron starts to be made in the core. And that's the end of the line.
Yeah.
You can't smash down the iron hard enough for it to fuse it together.
Right.
So that's when once the core is full of iron and there's not enough helium and other elements to fuse to make energy. Cause remember, this is all that balance, right?
Right.
All this energy being made is pushing against the gravity. Well, once there's not enough energy, any fusion energy anymore to push against the gravity, and it's just all iron, then the whole thing collapses down. And this happens in, I think, like an hour.
Really? Yes. That quick?
Whoa.
Once you get to the end, it all happens very fast. The whole thing just collapses down into the center of the iron core of the sun, and that compression of the gravity pulling on everything pulls it so fast that a giant shockwave explosion happens as it all comes into the center, and that's a supernova.
And that'll wipe us all out. We're all done for that, right?
Yeah, we'd be done already, but yeah.
Even if it just got...
Spaceships.
See, this, I always wondered about this. If it suddenly just went cold, let's say within an hour, would people in Minnesota even know that it's happening? Would they know?
Not for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And it just feels like they would be like, "What? What's the big deal? What's the problem, everybody? Because it's so damn cold up there."
They might feel it, but they would put their noses up at everybody else who was complaining about it.
They'd say, "Oh,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't cold. You should have seen the winter I spent here in 1993.
Back in '05. Yeah, it's
you guys just don't know how to drive in the snow. That's what they say.
That's what we say here in Colorado.
Well, that's fascinating. So if that ever does happen, we won't really even know because it'll be so instantaneous. We're all out. We're just done, right?
Well, we'll be long gone by then because once it runs out of hydrogen, the Earth is toast.
Yeah. Well, the opposite of toast. We're big frozen. we're bread
first
that's
we'd
frozen.
Be toast, and then we'd be that cold piece of bread that's left on your plate when you leave the Perkins.
Yeah. We'll be like the 3-year-old Wonder Loaf that's in your freezer still and has freezer burn. But that's what we'll be. Yes. We're going to look like Jack Nicholson out in that damn maze thing.
Hedge maze. Yeah.
I can't
wait. Let me tell you, though, now that you know about the supernova and how once you run out of energy and the iron core, everything collapses and then the whole thing explodes. Once you know how that works, it's really cool and interesting to think about what a black hole really is. If the star is big enough, and our star is not big enough for this to happen, but if the star is big enough, then when it collapses down like that and that supernova happens, there will be enough stuff in the center that it won't all explode. And a lot of supernovas, by the way, leave behind a neutron star, which is just really small. It's just a bunch of stuff that's left behind. There's no more bunch of gas. It's basically just a bunch of, literally what it is a bunch of neutrons that are all together. But if the star is big enough, there will be enough of those. In a neutron star, the reason it stays as this ball of neutrons is because at a quantum level, the nuclear forces that are involved will not allow these neutron particles to get closer together. Mm. They just won't. They cannot physically get closer together. Mm-hmm. They're so dense and packed, and they just the forces will not, it cannot get closer together. But
because of the atomic level, they're already nearest neighbors. They can't move any. There's no more movement.
The forces are so strong there that they cannot be pushed closer together. It's just a law of nature, except for if the star was big enough and there is enough stuff there, the gravity will be so strong that even those neutron, they're called degenerate forces, even those degeneracy forces are overcome, and those particles get smashed together and forced together. And once that happens, it's game over. It doesn't stop. Yeah. It will. That's why they say that a black hole is a single. It's all that matter condensed down to a single dimensionless point, a single point in space. It's because it doesn't stop. If you overcome that force, there's so much matter there, it will not stop.
Yeah,
and that's the part that even physicists have a hard time wrapping their heads around. You just have to trust the math, you know, because that is so counterintuitive.
Yeah.
How can everything get compressed down to a dimensionless? It has no height, width, length, nothing. It's a dimensionless single point in space.
Look, as soon as I accepted, Matthew McConaughey spent 7 extra minutes trying to do a thing, and that meant 100 years went by. I'm good for anything now. Whatever.
Right.
Once you get your head around some of that relativity stuff and how it might work, everything else seems like nothing. So
everything else is all right.
Yeah. You could eat a peach for hours. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, just for what do you think of that? When you do that, all right, I think of Nick Cage saying that. I don't know why.
Weird. Okay. All right.
Can't explain it. All right. This is fascinating. And I hope people enjoyed science class today. There'll be a quiz. And I trust you all do well on the test at the end of the quarter. Okay. Yeah. Hey, Bobby, there are other cool science topics being discussed all the time on a little show you make called All Around Science. Tell us about it and what's on there this week.
Yes, my podcast that I do with my co-host Maura is called All Around Science. We talk about science stuff every week, just whatever we find interesting, news, other interesting topics. This past week, the episode that just came out yesterday, we talked about a topic that on the surface sounds really technical and everything. It's called viral interference. But it's actually a really fascinating thing that you may have noticed but don't realize. And it's the thought that, have you ever noticed that when you get sick with something, let's say you get a flu or even a cold.
Sure.
You don't get sick with something else.
Usually not.
Oh, yeah, right.
Almost never. Now, some people do, and those people are usually immune compromised, and we talk about that. But a typical healthy person like you and I, if you get the cold, you usually don't get the flu and the cold at the same time, or you don't get COVID and the flu.
Yeah. Sometimes you might back-to-back them, but even that's hard to do.
Even that's not very common.
I'd assume that it's, and we'll find out on All Around Science, but I assume it's because white blood cells are currently in overdrive protecting you, or?
That's certainly part of it, but there's a lot more to it than that. And the teaser here is that it has to do, the viruses themselves have ways of pushing out and preventing other viruses.
Oh wow!
From getting in, they're very territorial.
Like one at a time, please stay behind the rope.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember when I was
at least form an orderly queue.
When I was a teenager, there was a time where I had a cold, a bad one, and all my sisters got diarrhea and the barfs, and I remember thinking, I'm so lucky I got the cold first, because I didn't understand this concept then, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But intrinsically, I kind of got the idea that, I'm busy fighting this. I don't have time for that. And I loved it. I was like, guys with your spend all day on the bathroom floor. It's too bad. Too sad.
Yeah, it's so funny you mentioned that, because Maura talks about that. Everyone in her house got sick, and she, everybody else got one thing. She got another thing. And she makes this great analogy when it comes to viral interference to a heist. The viruses doing a heist in your body and competing heist people. And
I love it. Yeah. This is the sequel to
All Around Science.
Yep, go check it. All Around Science, wherever podcasts are available, and you will not go wrong if you are into more scientific talk. Bobby, thanks for hanging around with us.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
See you, Bobby.
Oh, it didn't kick us. Thank goodness.
Cool.
Although, oh, wait, maybe
kick us.
Oh, it still did it. Frick. It rebooted it. Are you there?
God.
It rebooted there it. I thought it didn't do it, but it did. It's only with Bobby.
Weird.
I do it with Tom. Well, no, it did it with Tom last week too, didn't it? I think it did.
I can't remember. It did it with somebody last week, and I can't remember who it was.
It may have been both. All right. Well, I have a new plan to deal with that because I know how to keep it up without canceling it.
Fix that.
All right. Let's be done with that and move on to a couple of quick reedy things here. For example, a text from Angry Bob. And he was talking about Antarctica and sent kind of the poles. And we were talking about like how stuff worked over there or whatever and how they got mail. Mm-hmm. And he says two things. U.S. stations in Antarctica get mail same way military does overseas. There's an FPO AP address. So that's interesting. Number two, maybe all dinos were gathered at their port and killed by asteroids. We'll never know. I'm not sure what that's a reference to.
I don't either.
Was it the guy that says, where are the poor, the Native Americans? Where's the ports? Where's the cities?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
But the dinosaurs weren't here then, so I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Angry Bob, you had a weird night that night you sent this, but I appreciate it anyway. So apparently you can send mail to the Antarctica. Yeah.
Sure.
So, Brian, if you're ever in the mood, just send a little love letter down there or whatever.
I've got a listener, a Coverville listener, who's stationed at the Bird Observatory, because he was explorer who went there. Andrew Bird. Shoot,
is that his name?
I know it's not Larry Bird, and I know it's not.
I wish it was Larry Bird.
It would be great if it was Larry Bird. But anyway, he's stationed there, and he sent me a photo of him wearing his Coverville T-shirt, standing in front of the pole.
That's great.
The actual spirally North Pole pole that somebody put up there.
That'll probably be. Correct me if I'm wrong, that'll probably be the closest you'll ever get to that pole. Is that sure?
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
That's amazing.
Although, believe it or not, there is an island covered with penguins called Coverville near Antarctica. And it is on my bucket list to go to Coverville Island.
Ah, that's a place?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a forest called The Instance, and I hope I get to go there one day. Just kidding.
Excellent. Excellent.
And then we got an email from D. He said, we got to get that D. He says, about Toro. This is the car rental thing.
Yep.
Is it Toro or Tora?
Turo. Turo.
Oh, I spelled it wrong. He says, hi, Scott and Brian. I was just listening to TMS 2423, where Brian was talking about the wonders of Turo. Just a quick warning for Brian. I used to work for a toll agency, and this may be a non-issue there, as I am unsure of what the toll situation there is in Denver. But be very careful with this. We had several owners of vehicles called in, ticked off for toll violations. Turo contacts are not accepted at some agencies to prove who was driving. Toll violations could go to registration holders all the way to garnishments and vehicle owners, not drivers, if left unpaid in certain parts of the country. Like I say, it may not be an issue there, but it is worth looking into before you sign up. Sorry, so long pay the toll, though. So
that's
I don't,
a really good point.
We
have toll roads. Yeah, 470 and Northwest Parkway are toll roads, or across the north side of Denver. I use those all the time for Lyft, and because of that, I actually have a toll RFID tag in my windshield that reduces the price that I pay for tolls. But this is something very important for me to have on there, that if I rent the car to somebody, there needs to be a form that says you'll be responsible for the discounted price of any toll trips you take through the toll roads.
Interesting. So
that's a good point.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have those here at all. So I you'd be safe in Utah, but I don't know what the... It's all about responsibility, right? Do they put it on you? And every state's probably different because we all have our dumb laws. So who knows? I still think that sounds like such a cool thing. I was talking to Kim about it. It just seems like a fun, smart way to.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I've got my outside photos taken of the car. I need to do some major cleanup on the inside of my car. Here's the fun thing. I really wrestled with, all right, well, I've got this awesome Oingo Boingo sticker that TVZ Gone made for me in the back window, another a Shield logo on the other side. Do I take those off? Don't want to. Do I Photoshop them out of the photograph? Don't want to do that either. Mm-hmm. Do I just leave them so that people can be in a car that likes Oingo Boingo and Shield
at the same time?
Yeah, which is what I think. You know, I'm not taking my Stitch bobblehead out of the front of it either. No. They've got to deal with that.
No, so leave that in there. Keep bobbling Stitch.
Exactly.
The LC Knight in the chat reminds me we do have Fast Pass for HOV lane use here, but I don't think that's applicable in this case because that's just a
similar thing though. One of our major tolls in Denver is an HOV lane and a couple of the major highways, and my license toll RFID tag applies to those as well. So kind of similar. Yeah.
All right. Well, my guess is Western states are going to have an easier time with this problem. Eastern states have tolls everywhere. Mm-hmm. So curious stuff. Anyway, thank you, D, for sending that in. If you'd like to be like D, you can send emails to themorningstream@gmail.com, or you can text us like Angry Bob did at 801-471-0462. Your voicemails are also welcome.
Yeah, we welcome. We invite and welcome your voicemails.
We don't turn them down. We accept them. Right. We embrace them. We play them. And we get naked with them. All right? That's going to be it for our show today. I want to thank two brand new patrons who joined since yesterday, Ivy Snow and Timothy Grigas. You guys are rad.
Very cool.
Yeah, I love it. Love new people. And would love it if you other people would become new people over at patreon.com/TMS. If you don't want ads, you're good. That's where you get them. It's where you not get ads. You want art in the mail? That's another place to get that. You want tea? You want pre-show content every day? How about some couch parties on the weekend? Or this weekend, we're going to do a play date. It's that time of the month, everybody, for play date.
Probably explore some more of the new Jackbox. Possibly.
Yeah, we didn't get through them all, did we?
No.
I think we missed like three of them. Anyway.
I think so, yeah. With one of those Jackbox games was a beast as far as how many rounds and turns it was. So
yeah, it was huge. So we'll end up and then we got kicked out of one of them because it crashed. That game, some stability issues on that game, but anyway, we're gonna check those out and play this weekend. Well, how is all this possible? Because you're members of our Patreon group over at patreon.com/TMS, and a reminder to join the community and have a chat over at frogpants.com/discord. All right, we're done. Let's go. We need a song, though. I don't have a song. You probably have a song, though.
Oh, I've got a song. Hey, what a lucky coincidence. Amy wrote in and said, this is for my husband, Alan's birthday. He's a longtime listener and patron of the podcast. She listens to Skim. Amy does. Aww. Alan is an amazing husband and father to our two little girls, and we wanted to wish him the best birthday. Love, Amy, Evie, and Veronica.
Let's party.
There you go.
Nice. Amy, you still need to get him a present and a card. This does not count as either of those two things. So sorry, just going to say. Amy wanted to hear something that I'm surprised we haven't played on the show before. It is the most famous cover of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, done by a sadly passed away but very talented, incredible performer from Hawaii named Israel Kamakaviva'ole. Or is, as for sure, as he goes for short, but I had to memorize and learn that last name, pronunciation of that last name for Coverville, because people gave me shit about not being able to pronounce
the hard. It's a hard one, man. That's a tricky one.
It's a tough one. Israel Kamakaviva'ole. Yeah. Anyway, here, I wonder if Randy, we got to ask Randy if he can do it tomorrow.
Or Nicole. Get Nicole to do it. Even better.
Oh, gosh. Even better. All right. So going out to Amy and Alan, this is Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Israel. One more time, I get to say it. Kamakaviva'ole. Ooh.
what you dream of, dreams really do come true. Someday you wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, and the dream that you dare to, oh why can't I, oh, someday I wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind, be where trouble melts like a lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
My only oath is to the stool.